Well, there has been a lot of attention drawn to the idea of sex trafficking here in the Twin Ports, and youth who are sex trafficked. We're learning more, we're understanding more, and we're doing better. Here in Duluth, as an offshoot of Lifehouse, is a new program and a place for trafficked youth to live, to heal, to put their lives back together. And Maud Dornfeld is the director of Lifehouse here in Duluth. She joins us to tell us some more about this new program. Hey, Maud, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
So talk about Soul House. It's Soul, S-O-L.
That's right. Soul like sun, which is very reminiscent of our Lifehouse logo. Soul House is a new five-bedroom transitional housing program that actually just got licensed July 1st. And so we're ready to accept residents into this program that is designed specifically for teens who've been sex trafficked.
Now, people were accustomed to the idea of especially if we watch television and have no knowledge of these things in real life, of people who are prostitutes being arrested because they have committed a crime. How are we starting to think differently about that whole idea? And where does the sex trafficking piece fit in?
Minnesota recently passed a new act, the Safe Harbor Act, and it redefined anyone who is under the age of 18 who's been prostituted, rather than being a criminal or a delinquent, as being actually a crime victim. And as a result of that new law, it really doesn't make sense to put those kids into a juvenile detention facility since they are not criminals or delinquents, they're crime victims. So the state devised a new system of safe housing to provide for these kids and to start them on their journey toward healing.
Talk a little bit about, we've discussed this on the program before, but it never hurts to go over it again, how kids end up sex trafficked.
Well, there's any number of ways that kids can end up sex trafficked, and really no group is immune from being a victim of sex trafficking. What pimps look for are kids who are vulnerable, and of course, kids who are homeless are particularly vulnerable. Kids who've been through the foster care system are particularly vulnerable. Kids who've got a lot of dysfunction in the home, parents who might have been incarcerated, who might be mentally ill, have drug problems, are at higher risk of being sex trafficked. Youth of color are at higher risk of being sex trafficked, but that doesn't mean that anyone couldn't be swept up into this issue.
In particular, Native women and girls are particularly at risk here in the Northland. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a long legacy of oppression of Native women and children, and certainly sex trafficking is a big part of that.
And people have said over and over, oh, there's so much Homeland Security now. There's no way people are getting on and off the boats in the Duluth Harbor.
Well, that's
not kind of what I'm hearing from the folks that are working in the field.
Well, you know, it's hard to know exactly what the extent of trafficking in the harbor is right at this time. What we see really are kids who are involved in trafficking through the internet, kids who are moved around quite a bit. So it's not like someone's, like you traditionally think of kids walking a beat on the street. Kids are being moved from motel room to motel room, from city to city, across the state. They might not even know where they are on any given day.
I was watching television last night, as I am wont to do, and there was a house of prostitution being run by a gal, and she was very blasé about the other women that worked there and made it sound as though this was a life choice that these women had made freely and independently, and you know, who was this person to be judging them?
Yeah, that's all part of the psychological grooming of victims of sex trafficking, brainwashing, convincing them that this is something that they are choosing to do freely. But really, it's not a matter of choosing this life. It's a matter of choosing between terrible options in order to survive. And so this one being the one that seems to make the most sense given the circumstances that kids are in.
Well, and as we learn that very rarely do women or anybody wake up one morning at, you know, perhaps 23 and say, okay, this is what I want to do now with my life. And if this was something you were forced into when you were 13 or 14, how can you say that once the person becomes 18, that this is now a free choice that they're making?
Absolutely. And even further than that, how can you say that a 13-year-old made a choice to do anything, even if they weren't physically coerced or threatened into engaging in prostitution? This isn't a choice that anyone under the age of 18 is able to make. And that's why it's been redefined as a crime, and that kids involved in prostitution are crime victims because they cannot make that choice.
Maud, what are some of the special needs that these kids are going to have going forward that Soul House is addressing? Because you set up a separate program and a separate living arrangement for these folks.
That's right. Of course, you know, they need long-term housing stability, and that's where Soul House comes in. Kids can stay there for up to 2 years, and in fact, if they are with us for 2 years and they're really not ready to move on, aren't self-sufficient at that point in time, they could transfer into one of our other housing programs, so they could stay with us for years. And in addition to that housing stability, they need safety, so there is a lot of security in Soul House itself in terms of physical security and staff security, highly trained staff 24 hours a day. They also need a lot of healing. And so we have mental health services, substance abuse services right at Lifehouse. And we also partner with other agencies like PAVSA in town to provide emergency crisis mental health services, both for the short term and for the long term. And then after that, once kids are stable and they're on the road to healing, they need to work on their education and their job skills so that they can find a way to become self-sufficient that doesn't rely on the street economy.
Well, not only that, to find something that they can do and contribute and feel proud of themselves and take pride and restore their dignity.
Absolutely. Dignity, self-esteem. We have a lot of staff at Lifehouse who are artists in their own right, and we encourage a lot of artistic self-expression. We have music. We have art therapy. And we find that a lot of kids who have been on the streets are incredibly creative and have a lot to say about their experiences, and they're really awesome. Awesome kids.
Wonderful. Maud, thank you so much for the information. It was great to have you join us this morning.
Great to
and
be here.
If folks want to help out, contribute, learn more about Soul House, is your website the best place for them to go?
Yep, lifehouseduluth.org. We also have a gift registry for Soul House on Target. If you look at first name Life, last name House, you'll see any number of items that we're looking for to help furnish the home.
Fantastic. Thanks, Maud.
Thank you.
Maud Dordenfeld joined us this morning. She's the executive director of Lifehouse here in Duluth.